Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to episode 494 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
Hey, Glennie, you're back from Singapore.
I am.
Everyone was so worried about you. They were all like, is my Apple broken? I haven't got an episode yet.
No one.
Is my feed broken?
They weren't worried about Glennie. They were worried about the episode.
Well, that was what I was implying, yeah. They weren't worried about him at all, but yeah. I thought maybe you didn't, you know, you went to do battle. You went to sling your cock through the four floors and you didn't clock it. You didn't make it to the fourth floor or out of the fourth floor.
Mate, if I was slinging my cock anywhere, it's considered a micro penis even in Asia. So it's...
I'll tell you what, it's a good thing you weren't slinging that cock in England. Prince Andrew might have tried to fuck it.
And probably would have been able to. I'm a little bit old for his taste.
Hey, look, I mean, Glennie, the things that Glennie would do for £12 million. Or 45 seconds with a royal. Either or. I mean, you don't want to know. So how was Singapore? Did you have the ability to watch the games from a venue over there while they were happening or what?
Oh, I've had to catch up on the fly. We spent some time in Malaysia and doing some factory tours and stuff. So we sort of weren't back around town during, when the games were on. So I had to sort of catch up the next day. But pretty fucking solid round of finals week one, I thought.
I thought, and then says nothing.
It's a pretty solid round of finals week one.
Your tone implied that you were going to continue speaking then.
I don't know about that.
My God, yeah. You put him around Malay for you know a couple of days, and he's forgotten how to fucking communicate in the English language. Yeah,
but I'm surprised he's not sitting there calling interest of keeping,
in the interest of keeping things on the level, you guys are the same cunt you were before I left.
Well, yeah, I mean, we didn't go to Malaysia.
Yeah, maybe you should get lost in the jungle.
And what's to say that like a big ass fucking chili crab or whatever is going to stop me being a cunt anyway? I dare say that it wouldn't. I'm Mr. Worldwide cunt.
You are not.
But I alluded to this on the member show the other night. That round had everything you could ask for out of rugby league condensed down to four fucking brilliant games.
Mm.
You know, the attacking shootout that was the Sharks and the Cowboys, two teams that finished much higher on the ladder than I'd say almost anybody gave them
yep,
the chance for.
Anybody bar their year. Supporters.
And most of those weren't.
Yeah, and even then they were resigned. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's it. So the two big improvers ended up facing off. You had the South Roosters game where you not only had the beauty of them squaring off in the last round of the regular season to lead into that, like Nate, as you alluded to, that happens from time to time. But then you had the game that was nothing but people trying to fucking kill each other, like going out there and just putting on levels of fucking hits that...
and how appropriate, given that today, as we record, is the whatever the anniversary of Manly versus Cronulla grand final in 1973 when they had to play the two and they got the second one, Manly second grand final win, and that game is probably the only game more violent than that.
Yeah.
In finals history.
But then the other one you've got, you know, Canberra going down and Voodoo teaming the biggest behemoth team of the last 20 years.
Yeah, the first and last time I'll say this, the Storms fans were right.
Yeah, they are shit.
Yeah.
And then you have the defending premiers, you know, showing probably the most clinical performance of the round, and Parramatta remembering their fucking place in the world and resigning themselves to straight set exits.
I would imagine that their fans remember how to boo Jacob Arthur again.
That fucking poor kid.
Yeah, that poor fucking exactly. Kid.
Jesus Christ.
But no, and we'll talk about that in the news because there's a news story today. I don't know if you've seen it.
Oh, no.
We'll get to that later. But the first one with the news, just want to... the Broncos had a yearly... They had their season end-of-season review, and Kevin Walters will keep his job, which implies to me that, you know, there was a chance, whether, you know, how slim or not, that maybe he wasn't going to retain his job for next year. But his future is far from secure after their capitulation to end the 2022 season. And the club chairman, Carl Morris, said that he will see out the final year of his contract, but there are no guarantees beyond that. Quote, "The way I view it is he has a contract until the end of next year, and at some stage during the year, we'll have a conversation with him about going on to a normal employee contract or extending his current contract. I assume it would be a yearly contract. I don't see what the benefit or upside is in having any employee, forget just Kevin Walters, on any more than a one-year contract." I mean, that's any employee. Jeez. I mean, they're going to sign players to fucking multi-year deals. Of course,
are they saying just like within a football context? Because I don't think they know how employment works.
Yeah, yeah. Outside their little bubble,
you don't go to a normal fucking job, and it's well. Fuck, I've got this for 12 months, and then 12 months from then you turn up to see if you're still employed. Just have a job.
Yes. And unless you are, quite literally, a contract worker. Now, so, we shall see how that plays out over the next 12 months, I guess. Now, the other story that I was talking about is the Eels. They had an internal review. And one of the points that came out of this is that there is nepotism at the club. And nepotism. Brownie of the Big Head, he was doing the review. And so he said that there's a perception of nepotism in the appointment of staff and players. They need a better connection from the NRL to flag into junior reps. Acknowledgement of all staff across all programs could be better. Skill development of players could be better with the Eels philosophy, whatever that means in quotes. And role clarity needs to be better communicated, and communication across all roles needs to be clearer.
Are they talking is that the football, or is that like the staff? And
well, yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, it said that there was no suggestion that this nepotism claim relates directly to Brad Arthur and his son.
However, it is the only relationship within the club where the term nepotism could be used.
It's potentially the only family related positions in the entire club, which would mean that by a process of elimination, it's fairly easy to figure out. But I mean, I don't know what's going on in head office and everything like that. And the other question I have is, like, you know, you're getting, like, if you were getting someone like Tim Sheens or Brian Smith or maybe Matthew Elliott or someone like that to do a review internally, yeah. I get that. Nathan Brown, though, he's hardly fucking lit the world on fire with his coaching prowess. And who is he? Honestly, of the three coaches they have employed on their books now in various capacities, that being Brad Arthur, Trent, and Nathan Brown, I mean, you could very easily argue the case that Nathan Brown is the worst coach they have on their books and the least qualified to do a review.
That's essentially like a guy being given a job as an F1 driver, couldn't quite do it, and then ends up giving fucking driving lessons to high school kids. That is Brownie's fucking.
Well, it's more like giving yeah, driving recommendations to like fucking Lewis Hamilton. That's what, I mean, really. I mean, someone he's totally unqualified to speak to. So yeah.
Oh, look,
hilarious.
And then Brownie also has questions, though. He also has a question about why Nathan Brown, his namesake, is on $550,000 a season, still signed for next year, yet remains on the outer and unable to force his way into the 17. And look, honestly, like, he's a fake tough guy and everything, as we know, but he's had some great games.
Is that what they mean by nepotism? As in, you know, if Brad Arthur doesn't... Well, yeah, nepotism can include, you know, friends or associates or sure. people within your
people crowd. Of the same name, perhaps.
But it's that, well, hang on, he's on a lot of money. So if we want to move him on, at least give him some fucking game time so he can show that he's good and other clubs might be interested in. By keeping him in Reggie's, we're not getting any value out of him, and we're not giving anyone the opportunity to see that they want him. And does that all stem from because, you know, maybe he called Jacob a mean name at training once?
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Who knows? I wonder. I mean, but it is interesting because, I mean, you would think going into finals game where the games are of a sort of a... They're a harder physical nature as well, just naturally in finals.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it serve better to... I mean, we've seen games, just backtracking, we've seen games when Mitchell Moses was injured earlier where Dylan Brown took over and probably had his best games.
Yep.
For the Eels.
Yep.
So knowing that that's something that, you know, can happen when Moses isn't on the field, why would you want to put a substandard player like Jacob Arthur in to fill the slot in the halves off the bench and instead go with someone who's like a hard-nosed defender or strike back rower or something like that?
Yeah.
On your bench instead of carrying a reserve grade half who may or may not really ever be called on.
Yeah, and it, the unfortunate thing is Brad Arthur will just always be able to say, oh, I was proved right. I was fucking proved right. It doesn't matter that the quality of the half he bought in wasn't great.
Yeah.
It was just that the genius play paid off. But the other thing I'm surprised about is that they're doing it now. This time, it always shocks me when clubs that are
in the middle
still,
of the campaign,
still in finals, have such because you know no positive press is going to come out. Can you imagine that if they came out and were like, "Oh yeah, the club's great and everything's fine and we're here on our way," and then they go out in straight sets? Why the fuck are the findings of this review done before the grand final? Like it's 3 weeks.
Yeah,
there is nothing
fucking. Well, and this is the thing, have they actually released them or has it been someone who's released, slipped it out the door? Because, I mean, let me tell you, that's the biggest problem with clubs. I mean, because people just fucking leak stuff, to push an agenda. Well, like we've seen with, you know, like Peter Peters, you know, pushing shit through about Desi as well. But,
it's just so fucking unprofessional from the club.
Yep. But this is, of course, an improvement for Parramatta, who previously their benchmark for professionalism was recording the board
themselves.
Meetings where they were openly talking about cheating.
Progress, boys. Progress.
Yeah. So look,
review is done before the season ends.
Yeah.
Let's get Dairy Queen. Let's light some candles and say Eels.
That's it.
Inch by inch, you're becoming more slowly more professional, but you're not there yet. So keep it up, little fellas. You'll get there one day. You'll get there before the earth becomes uninhabitable due to fucking scorching fucking climate.
God.
Listen, are there any other news stories? Do we want to talk about the story regarding Caitlin Moran and her Instagram post regarding the Queen? We spoke about it on the member side last night a little bit, you and I, Jay.
Yeah.
Let me talk about it now. Okay, so Glenny, I don't know if you missed this one.
No,
but
I didn't.
While you were in
I
Singapore, the
it.
Queen
yeah.
died.
Did see that.
So,
is she the Queen of Singapore too? Are they in the Commonwealth Games? Or did they get independence? Or were they never part of it?
I mean, they did fuck them off out of there, you know, like India did ultimately, right? Are they still in the... under the umbrella and can go and, you know, win some easy medals against the British.
Yeah, okay. Fuck yeah.
I'm presuming that's the only reason we're still there, to beat up on fucking England and New Zealand and Canada in track and field that doesn't have Americans and fucking Jamaicans and shit.
Isn't Jamaica part of it?
Yes.
Oh, they are. They're sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I stand corrected.
That's it. So hang on.
Swap them for Russia.
You're saying... that we're spending billions and billions of taxpayer dollars back to England every year. So once every 4 years, Nortz mistakenly thinks that people care about track and field.
Look, I mean, you couldn't have said it better. Honestly, yeah, okay. That's very, very, very well stated. Now, Caitlin Moran, a Newcastle Knights NRLW player, when the Queen died, she wrote an Instagram post that I don't have it verbatim in front of me, but it was celebrating the fact that who's that country fucking guy that Luke Combs is
Luke
that
Combs,
is that who it is,
yeah.
Glennie?
Yeah.
Luke Combs is doing a tour and the dumb fucking dog died. What a great day. Is essentially what she said.
Yeah.
She didn't tag anyone. She didn't name anyone by name. But no one thought anything of it because she had about 150 fucking followers on her Insta until I believe it was the mole, Tony Adams. He came across it. And he fucking snitched to the club and to the NRL. And then it sort of took off. It would have sunk. No, I wouldn't know because at the end of the day, it's not that fucking bad. But then you get people like Ray Hadley come out and be like, oh, it's the most despicable or, most vile thing, most vile comment, seen in like the history of the game sort of thing.
Oh, I have more of a problem with that comment than I do with hers.
Oh, like, motherfucker, just this year, we've got fucking Brett Finch getting found guilty on pedo charges.
Yeah,
I mean, you think that this is worse than that? And not only that, you had that guy that the guy that got off killing his wife a couple of weeks ago as well was a former first grade rugby league player. I mean, fuck me. There's been a lot of things happen just in the last 3 months that, like, she doesn't even crack, like, all time rugby league, she hasn't even cracked the top 100.
No.
Like, she's not even cracked the top fucking 1,000 indiscretions. It's absolutely bullshit.
Talk about rugby league as a whole. She doesn't even beat St. George.
Yeah.
Like, fucking club skeletons.
But then she gets a 25% fine and a one game ban for the social media post. And when you take into account that their season is so short,
mm.
and they're not on professional contracts and shit like that either. So I hate to agree with fucking the RLPA and Newton, but just as a way of illustrating how it would be if it was like a marquee first grade male player, it would be the equivalent of a 5-game suspension and $250,000 fine, essentially, which is,
it's fucking ridiculous.
Even when we have someone no conviction recorded, but found guilty of an assault, like 2 weeks ago, got a two week suspension,
to be served next year, exactly.
And I think the NRL got him with like $7,500 or something like that. And the law got him with a $1,000 fine. I think the NRL hit him with $7,500. But still, I mean, do these fucking people look at any stage at like consistency, or
it doesn't even have to be consistency? I personally think that asking for consistency is I don't want to say a fool's errand, but it's hard to give just because everything is so different. How do you guarantee consistency? But I think it's just that basic sniff test. Well, hang on, that they're not paid anywhere near as much and their season is so much shorter. So this is the equivalent. What's another way around this? Is there a thing where she could get up and we could work with her and her management and while retaining respect for her Indigenous heritage. And again, like we spoke on the fucking membersode last night about why the fuck anyone cares so much about the Queen one way or the other.
Yeah.
Fucking boggles my mind.
Yep.
Why people are so fucking in this camp or that camp. And the point that I put across was maybe one of these things is that the Queen represents certain things to certain people. Nate brought up the fact that he remembers singing God Save the Queen when he was a little fucking kindergarten kid. And so maybe she reminds some people of their childhood when things were rosy and they didn't have any fucking worries. And then, and that's right. And I remember my fucking grandma loved the Queen and had a picture of her on that. Whatever the fuck it was, to her, this lady's the figurehead of
colonization and fucking that
committed fucking genocide. Like, there's no fucking two ways about it. So whether we say that the Queen is responsible for that or not, it's a totally different fucking discussion. But that's what she represents to this person. You know?
Yep.
Fuck me.
And in a general scheme of things, I've said far worse things about the Queen this week on social media in the form of memes and other things. So
yeah.
and I hereby suspend you and fine you.
Yeah, fucking cancel me. Please. I need a fucking holiday.
we're the last people to ever claim that people should be careful about what they say, but certainly I think there is probably a lesson here that, you know, I'm all for athletes and anyone speaking their mind as they see fit, but there's obviously in the arena of professional sport and certainly within the NRL, there is maybe a moment to be taken saying, you know, is this something I really need to put out there? Whether it's right, whether it's wrong, whether you disagree or agree with it, I just think that it leads to bad press for the NRLW. I think it leads to bad press to the player.
Been pro censorship, Glennie.
You've completely missed my point. Not for the first time.
How are those fucking colonial boots tasting, Glennie?
Yeah. should she have to check with you or her dad before she gets an abortion?
Thanks for that, mate. I really appreciate you taking on my opinion. You're doing exactly the same thing, so I appreciate it. And I don't really know why the fuck I'm here and I fucking why you waited for me to come back to listen to this shit. So maybe you can both just go fuck yourselves and let's get on with it.
Can I say that?
I didn't say shit to you. What are you talking about?
And you fucking were going to.
Like, this is your point, you know, on crack. But I heard somebody talking about it that said, oh, well, hang on. If Israel Folau wasn't allowed to post his social media comment, why should she be allowed to post her social media comment?
Oh, God.
Now, when you first hear that, at a high level, you're like, oh, fuck, hang on. Yep, in the spirit of fairness, again, I may not agree with what you say, but blah, 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 blah. But let's examine that. Israel Folau's post was hateful and directed at billions of people's identities.
Yep.
The only person that this was directed at is dead and can't read it.
Yep.
That's the fucking difference.
And by and large, enough of a percentage of her children are pedophiles and who cares what they fucking think anyway.
Exactly.
So, so yeah, RIP, you dumb fucking dog. Yeah. Hey, Glennie, no, I never related to you with that post from Caitlin. I've never related to you more than I did in that moment when I read that post, and also with other friends on Facebook, you know, through the early part of the week, where they're like, oh, it's, you know, Luke Combs tickets. Who can get Luke Combs tickets? And I'm like, fuck is Luke Combs?
What's this fucking guy?
I said, I swear to fucking God, I've never heard this cunt's name in my entire life.
Oh, my fucking days.
So, and I haven't, and Glennie, I've been saving it for the show. I have not fucking tried to educate myself, not one bit. So, I'm asking you now to educate me, but can I just say, I just want to speculate, is he like a country music singer?
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
That's why I don't see. I mean, I was just trying to think of like a vertical where I legitimately have no fucking idea and it never like strays into my orbit at all. And it had to be that. So, okay, good.
Siri, give me examples of the only music worse than Counting Crows.
Siri, turn this fucking shit off so I can go to bed.
The thing is, you got to be careful when you do that shit because the bitch, she does listen and she does fucking, do dumb shit.
I don't know, that's not dumb at all.
Right. So let's get on to the results from the first round of the finals, week one of the finals. The first game, Friday night, and geez, a long time ago now, but the Penrith Panthers 27 defeat the Parramatta Eels 8. In fact, I'd forgotten the scoreline. I thought it was probably like 23. I knew it was an odd number. But the Panthers tries through Brian Toto with a double. Dylan Edwards, James Fisher-Harris tries. Cleary, 4 conversions, a penalty goal and a field goal. The Eels, 8 came through a try to Oregon Kafusi, the conversion to Mitchell Moses, the penalty goal to Mitchell Moses.
Well, any fucking doubt that the rest was good for Nathan and Romy, fucking put to bed. Looks like load management for fucking all NRL teams next year.
Yeah, I mean, because like Luai has been, yeah, maybe not terrible, but pretty fairly poor in his, you know, stop start, you know, yeah, injury and origin it, and whatnot. But Cleary, though, however, I mean, with a, you know, big holiday, he dumped a dead weight, fucking.
Yeah,
the chick that was hanging on to him dumped her, and he got her off his back, and he's just fucking broken the shackles.
That's it.
And just come back 100%.
That's it. and it was the, what did they say? It was one of the first that only had their full like selected first grade team on the field like three times this year, or something as a whole squad, which is absolutely fucking ridiculous when you think about it. Because normally when you look at a season, the stat that you can be almost guaranteed of is that the teams that use the fewest players finish higher on the ladder, and the teams that
I do feel that Penrith would have used one of the fewest amount of players if they hadn't have brought an additional like 13 in on the week before the finals. I think that would have skewed the stat massively. I think before then they probably used like, you know, 25 players or 23 players, and then now it's blown out to like 50. But
thanks to round 24.
I mean, they've cooked the books.
But they just got in and did exactly what they needed to do, and were right back to that style of football that won them the minor premiership, that let them go throughout the entire season undefeated.
Undefeated, sir.
100% undefeated. I'm also.
Hey, I'm on board. I'm on board with your fucking undefeated term.
I'm demanding retractions on anyone that ever said that Parramatta match up well against Penrith. They don't.
Well, I mean, Parramatta it's 2-1 this season. And I would just like to say, I knew you were going to say something like that. And I mean, the thing is, as well, the game was a live game. And one of the, like, surprising to me was the fact that Mitch Moses, of all people, rushing up on kickout, absolutely fucking neutralised him.
He did a fantastic job on him.
Until the time he did it, he pushed his luck one more time, got the whammy and knocked out of the game. And then the aforementioned Jacob Arthur came on and kicked the ball out in the full, knocked the ball on, let Kikau rediscover the fucking freeway that he's used to. And that's what turned game on at about 13-8, I think it was, into, you know, a commanding lead.
Yeah, but obviously it doesn't help having the key playmaker go on. But the issue was that from late in the first half, Parramatta turned into fumbles Parramatta.
Yeah, and 10 mistakes in the second half.
That's it. That was always going to be the which Parramatta shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a couple of those, poor fucking, who was it? I think someone in our Panthers group said sleeper agent Bean. old Wonga. Had a very unhappy night, and that's the thing.
He had a real one of those. He had a real one of those half a carriages of games.
Look, there has to be some acknowledgement for Nathan's kicking game as well, because some of those errors were absolutely forced by uncatchable landmines.
But you know, an error. Doesn't
the question is, did he spend any time? How much time? The question I haven't seen it answered anywhere is how much time was he spending with Birdo while he was off? And, you know, like extracurricular, because they were Birdo's shots that he was throwing up there. He's not known for doing those in the past.
No, he's not.
I mean, remember his whole thing was the midfield bomb, you know, just ineffective, fucking barely higher than the post.
That's it, yeah. So maybe this is his final form, which is fairly fucking scary, adding that to his repertoire. But for Parramatta, they completed at 67%.
Yeah,
you can't beat Penrith doing that.
Which is fucking like that. Even for a regular season game, that's horrible.
Yeah, exactly. So, but from Penrith's point of view, they were right back to that up tempo style of football, and fuck me, wasn't it a fan's wet dream? Like James Fisher-Harris now has the greatest flick pass in the history of any player from New Zealand. He's the fucking the greatest fucking playmaker that New Zealand has ever produced. He owns that now. And I encourage anyone.
Most people would assume that if you happened to die suddenly, that I'd be upset. But all I would do is think about dumb shit like that that comes out of your mouth, and I'd be like, thank fuck that cunt died.
Fucking dumb shit. It's gospel truth. And if I die suddenly, do you know what it was? Do you know what it would be?
It'd knife to the heart.
Because fish would be standing over me, thanking me for spreading the gospel, and giving me the
honor
of taking me
himself. And you would look into his eyes
himself
and die immediately.
And come to death.
Did you see the photo of him on their Instagram?
Yes.
From the fucking awards ceremony?
I didn't see it, I swear. Oh, describe it to me and I'll look it up.
Go to the Panthers' Instagram. But it's him with his award, but like the background looks like he's fucking fading into the night with stars around him and shit after he's killed someone. It's haunting. It's fucking haunting. Those piercing blue eyes. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, piercing like fucking thousands of knives.
Like that image will be when you go and actual death turns up, you're like, oh, I was right.
Yeah, there you go. It is actually him. G'day, mate. Thanks for making the time. I know you've got a busy job as a professional athlete. Appreciate you taking the time.
Parramatta weren't up to the task defensively. You know, and you turn the tables on that. Dylan Edwards had a couple of fumbles at the back on some... And that's the way to play him. Whilst, he can drop a high ball. Also, fast ones low along the ground that Moses started to get the hang of, and they're hard for anybody. You know, it's exactly the same, and I don't know why more people don't do it when they play Manly. But he made those errors, and Penrith turn around and defend the fuck out of their try line.
Mm.
Yeah. The difference was Parramatta are dropping bombs, and then Penrith just camped down there and scored some relatively easy tries. So.
I think it's glaringly obvious. It really counts now. It's finals time. This, as good as Penrith have been all year, they've clearly... This is when it matters, and the disparity between these two sides has never been clearer.
Yeah.
And, I think they're impressive. I think everyone else is playing to fucking win the right to be beaten by Penrith.
That's it.
Right. And the hidden benefit of this game was, based on all how the other results turned out, is now if Penrith were playing this week, they would have been playing the Raiders, and I suppose they could evoke fucking the 90s stuff. Yeah. But really, Ricky versus Parramatta after the way he left that club, that's a much better fucking storyline, and I'm loving the storylines of these games this weekend.
Yeah, 100%.
And going forward.
Fuck yeah. Socials on that game. Gary, he said, Moses looks worse than the Queen. Joe, he said, take that, you slithery cunts. Bruce, he said, Pennies are up 25-8 and they go for a short dropout. What the fuck? Why do so many teams now go for it recently, even when in front, and it seems to win approximately 20% of contests? It's NRL, not rugby. It is interesting that they go for it. To me, I think this...
I think they've done the sums on it more.
Yeah.
I just think teams have done the sums on it now, and they're like, look, we can defend from, 15 out or if we have to.
Yep.
And the benefit is if we get it, we don't have to fucking defend again, so it's kind of a...
I think it also depends on who they're playing, and the smart teams in this, and this is what separates the good team from the back. The smart teams will understand if their opposition's a threat from 10 out, or if being 10 out actually stifles their attack.
Yep.
I agree with you, though. I like the old fucking just boot at 60 metres and then you get one guy take a big fucking charge back, and it's a great part of the game. Grover, how far back do you need to be to kick a 20-point field goal? Matthew, that was a weird game. The Eels seemed to revert to a conservative game style, hoping to grit out a win, but Panthers just had another level ready to go. Eels' window is sliding shut fast.
Certainly every year you talk about their window being shut, but next year, surely.
Well, next year they lose Reed Marnie.
Yeah, which is important, yeah.
Who else do they lose?
Maybe Papa Lee. Do you see he's getting fucking fancy again?
Yeah.
They're asking him about next year, and he's like, I can't comment. you know, I can't talk about that. So who knows
what
he's cooking
up. I'll
tell
you what, you know, here's the thing. First, they had that it was all fucking Madge, so Madge was going to get him there. Mm-hmm. And then Pasco, in his infinite fucking wisdom, gets him over with a fucking welcome party of Jock and Jacob. So I'm sending the two J's over to you. Now, they're both fucked off. So everyone that he fucking says, yes, I'll go, they all leave.
Look, there's no time like the present, though. I mean, Glennie, Jockey Madden was set to be heading over to the Panthers and presumably a Sean O'Sullivan-esque role. Now he's gone up to be the third string half at the Brisbane Broncos.
I did not hear that.
And that's one. Because, I mean, yeah, we were talking about it on the show like a couple of weeks ago. Like he was going to Penrith, right?
Oh, that it was a done deal.
Yeah, no, Broncos. And you saw the announcement from the club, obviously, that your mate Lids, he's been released from the final year of his contract from the West Tigers, and he's gone over the Dragons.
Mm.
Is McCulloch retiring, or is Lizzie going to play tandem with fucking
Maybe Micah? Maybe he'll just play like 14 and occasionally 21. Week in, week out, and they'll just do the same as the Tigers did. They played him in his most effectiveness, off the bench or not at all.
Or not at all. Yeah, fuck.
Your boys are getting thin. I mean, let's face it, he had no future. I mean, because you got Appy coming.
Exactly.
I mean, so he had no future. This time for sure.
Speaking of shit ex-Tigers players,
George,
let's go to the next game.
Yes, the Canberra Raiders 28 defeat the Melbourne Storm 20 down there at the Korean Housewife in Melbourne, as they have played every game this year. And the Canberra Raiders 28 tries to Timoko, Fogarty, Whitehead, Hudson Young, Jordan Rapana, Fogarty, 4 of 5 conversions. The Storm, a hat trick to Xavier Coates, Big Nelson with another try, Munster, 2 conversions. And that's it. Meaney missed his conversions. Munster missed the penalty goal.
Mm. I think whilst you have to give Canberra credit for their performance, I think this game really shows the end of this phase of the Storm era. And boy, you'd have to be pretty brave to back against Bellamy not coming up with a new evolution of how they play and how the side's structured to give them a competitive advantage. This is the toughest they've done it. Over the course of this season, I think they've, you know, the first slump I can remember them being in, and games where they legitimately looked like they weren't one of the upper echelon sides. So
yeah.
They've got some work to do in the off season, and I think it, you know, sorting the Munster situation is part of it, obviously, but they've got more holes in their roster now than they've ever had. And part of that is because they don't have two sets of books anymore. But also, you know, there's some legitimate plotters in that side, and it shows in some of the results they've put up. So, but credit to Canberra. I think, you know, I'm loath to give Ricky Stewart any credit, but, you know, he's got the side pumped and ready to take on anybody, and you know, they've got the enthusiasm, they've got the job done against Melbourne.
Oh, they had great goal line defence as well, and just the fact they stayed in it the whole time, because, like, while you're right, the Storm have sort of declined somewhat, I mean, this game was decided by a combination of some dubious calls and just outright fucking arse. With that try that the Raiders scored off the face of Sebastian, I mean, that was arse. And then the other thing that that stuck out to me in this game was, in the first half, there was a situation where like a bomb went up, and I think Brandon Smith was challenging for the ball, and you could see he had eyes on the ball, hands on the ball, but he got penalised for tackling a player in the air. Mm. And then later in the game, when it was really counting, Cameron Munster got taken out the same way. And the ruling wasn't made, you know, wasn't adjudicated the same way as well, where it should have probably been a penalty for them. But look, you know, obviously seeing the Storm getting fucking done in the first round of the finals and out, it's a wonderful thing. And
look, it's a very good point you raise, and I think that rule, because it's not a sexy rule at the moment, probably won't get the attention it deserves, but they need to do exactly what they did with the shoulder charge and with the head highs and set out a bunch of criteria for different ones. And so the players know exactly what they're doing. And then all the bunker's doing is adjudicating on, you know, is there this, is there this, is there this? And then the bunker knows to stick to it as well.
Yeah, and like letting, and yeah, and if either of them were adjudicated, you know, if they were adjudicated in the same way, there's no, I don't have a problem with the call. But yeah. They both looked like they both, you know, felt very similar. And I mean, that, especially that first, that one with, I think it was Brandon Smith, but like, it was clearly a contest. Like a live contest. It was a mystifying penalty. But
And that's the issue, though. It's mystifying. Yeah. Maybe there's something in the rule books that the NRL says, well, depending on how the other player lands is how you adjudicate this. That's fine.
Yeah.
But as long as people know that, they'll understand it, and then you don't get this fucking kick-up. But
in
the spirit of fairness, you know, we talk about the Cowboys and the Sharks being the big improvers overall this year. Canberra are the biggest improvers in season.
Well, post-Origin, for a fact, yeah. Probably since you know, it's no surprise, it's pretty much since Jerome Hughes, sorry, not Jerome Hughes, since, fucking, what's his name? I just had a brain fade. Old mate for the half, what's his fucking name? Jamal Fogarty, of course.
Yeah,
since he finally, you know, got off the injured list and onto the field.
Yeah.
And it didn't take long for them to click once he did start playing. And, yeah, obviously he has proven to be. I mean, because you know, up to Origin, you know, the Titans were, you know, they were laughing. Titans fans, they were laughing. Like, spot, you know, yeah, good job, fucking, you know, yeah, not despite the fact that they were fucking losing worse, but but he has, you know, they've been proven right. The Raiders recruitment, they've been proven right. I mean, he was the piece they needed.
Yep.
And coming off like all time best seasons for guys, you know, like Tarpanay. And yeah, then, a half that can actually work off the back of that, and you know they've reaped the rewards, and they have like, you know, almost the best record post Origin this season, right?
But you talk about, and Tarpany's been good, for most of the season, but he was fucking absolute beast mode in this game.
Yeah,
he was absolutely everywhere.
Yep,
and I would suggest the difference here in terms of the Raiders. And the Storm, just from his presence. And the hilarious thing is, he's off contract next year.
Yeah.
So this is contract year, but Canberra's got the belief, which is what they were missing in the beginning of the year. How many times did we talk and go, oh, yep, same story, Canberra were ahead, there was one try scored, not even to put the other team in front.
Yeah.
But might have
just cut first a, try of the second half, you know, or something.
They don't convert it. Takes a 12-point lead to 8, and all of a sudden Canberra shit the bed because, oh, no, we're going to fade again.
Yep.
So, no, they did well. Mendoza, he said, Noffa, still with no finals wins in his career. if
I'm
you're
fucking
a gambling
here for
man,
it. I'm
here yeah, for Glenn, it. I was just going to say, Glennie, how you feel?
If you're a gambling man and you, you know, midway through the year, you were like, hey, we've got two Tigers players. Noffa's going to go to the Storm. And BJ Leilua is going to go to the Cowboys, who ends up with more finals wins at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Luciano Leilua.
Yeah, and you're 100% right.
Yeah. You'd put the house on Bellamy. Fucking, how good is that? Toto, he said the Broncos took one for the team so the Raiders could knock out the Storm. Was that in the report about Kevy, was it? Josh said it makes sense we own the stadium. The grass is green. The fucking chairs are green. For fuck's sake. Gus, I've always wondered if the Storm... I've always wondered if the Storm was a dynasty built on salary cap breaches, and over time, this has diminished as they've fallen in line. No disrespect to their loyal fans. That's wrong,
Gus. Disrespect them.
Disrespect.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yes, yeah. Disrespect to their loyal fans.
Your point's
fans.
Correct, and if they feel disrespected, fuck them. They're not listening anymore anyway. As we know, Storm fans, they unsubscribe and disconnect from the fucking Facebook group the second they get bundled out of the in the season before the finals.
And, yeah, welcome to playing football as a fucking normal club does with normal salary cap and normal refereeing of the rules.
Teams like the Tigers, if you're getting knocked down in the first round of the finals, so, geez, I can relate.
Yeah, that's it. Cathal said, well, that fucking sucked, but congrats to the Raiders. They fronted up and deserved the win in the end. Time to light a candle, I guess. It's nice to see your misery can bring a smile to so many faces. That's a big Dairy Queen there, man. That's big. Onwards and upwards. World Cup coming soon, and I'm sure my home nation of Ireland, rugby league powerhouse that we are, will win it all. There you fucking go, sir. Well done.
Right.
No, hang on. Sorry, this is my one. Cameron. He said, pretty disappointing season, really. After watching the Cows versus Sharks, it was clear to see how much better the intensity and quality of footy was compared to the Storm versus Raiders. You fellas have touched on it several times on the potty. The conveyor belt of talent replacing the injured and departing players has stopped. Injuries definitely hampered the Storm season, but that's footy. Until next year, I suppose. And we'll give the final on this to Bethany. Long-time Storm fan. To everyone who was telling me not to worry back when we were getting mauled in Magic Round and during the four-game losing streak, let me just say I fucking told you we were cooked. This team died with Welch and Pappy, and honestly, I'm glad that half our forward pack is leaving. They've been a pack of weak-gutted dogs. I hope the Dolphins are ready for them. Noffa can also fuck off back to the Tigers where he belongs. I forgot about Welch. He was such a big fucking loss for them.
Huge.
Yeah.
He was fucking massive,
and he like has to be one of the only players to wear that jersey in the history of the franchise that isn't like an absolute total cunt.
Yeah, yeah,
he's like someone who
I would say is a net good for the game.
Yes, correct. You know what I
mean, like, whereas some of these other ones, not so much.
Yeah, no. Next game.
All right, the North Queensland Cowboys, 32, defeat the Cronulla Sharks, 30, in an epic at Reclaim Australia Stadium. The Cowboys, 32, came through tries to Gilbert, Dearden, Hiku, Taulangi, Tamalolo, Holmes, four conversions, one penalty goal, and a crucial two-point field goal. Sharks, their 30, came through a double to Will Kennedy, Cam McInnes, Talakai, and Rudolph with the other tries, and Hines, five conversions.
What a fucking game.
What a game.
Yeah.
93-minute fucking classic. It had everything. And the Sharkies this time, they actually, their stamina pretty much held all the way through the game. Mm-hmm. And then it really let them down in the extra time periods.
Yeah. You know,
with drop balls and things like that. To the extent where when it got to extra time, the Sharkies only had one crack of reasonable territory in the entire period, in two halves of extra, and the period, the amount of time golden point that elapsed before the game was ended, but defense optional. There were some horrible non finals ish defensive moments, like the try that Dearden scored.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
Just should never have happened in a game of finals football. And I mean, and the Sharks for their part, opening up the right hand side defense, their left hand side attack with some of those little set plays with the with the decoys and the lines were just fucking fantastic.
Yeah. It and again, you could go through each of the tries, like the try that Rudolph scored was fantastic. Like it was a great forwards try, but really in the scheme of things was very fucking soft, especially for a finals game.
It showed brute strength, but fucking
yeah.
The defense isn't told to put him down
100%,
100%. Five times in that run.
So much so. Well, I did that, the old fucking fail classic, where there were a couple of minutes to go. Yep, okay, Cronulla's home here. Everything's fine. I know what the game's about. Cool. I'm going to go to the bathroom and off to bed.
I'm in bed. Fucking rookie fuck.
I know. I'm in bed. And then all of a sudden, my Twitter's still pinging.
Yeah,
and I'm like, hang on, like, no, there's not that many fucking comments and shit like that. And so I go back, oh fuck, that's still fucking going. So rewind. But I think North Queensland would see that as a cementing of their worth in that in that top four, whereas Cronulla really see that one as the one that got away. They really had that and should have had that done. And I think that comes down to the unfortunate thing that the experience in their halves is not where the talent is. You know, they really needed someone there that could take control of that game and just manage out that last 5 minutes. But
well, the thing is, they didn't do a terrible job of that though either. You know what I mean? Like they were doing okay. I'd prefer to give more credit on the other side of the Cowboys, particularly like Robson he's not a super tenured guy. Doesn't have a fuckload of experience. But the way that he absolutely bullied guys like Cam McInnes when they were tired at the end, especially on that last play, you know, and then yeah, giving the run for, you know, Taumalolo to ultimately, you know, tie the game up. It was just quality fucking play.
Yeah,
I think overall it's a big tick for resilience for the Cowboys. Yeah. And you know, they've had moments in the last few seasons where, you know, they didn't look like this kind of side, and they've turned it around this year, and their development has been accelerated to a pretty ridiculous degree to be where they're at right now. Well, and wait, a lot of that's,
I remember
off,
last year, there was talk that, oh, fucking the coach and the players and they lost the dressing room, and Taumalolo hates him, and it's a fantastic turnaround.
But they showed great resilience to keep coming again and have the confidence in what they're doing and the belief in the group to come again. So the Sharks, you know, with all their experience and all the rest of it, they came again. And the Sharks scored and they come again, they tied it up, and then had the stones to make the play to win it.
When it got to extra time, the Sharks didn't have a sniff. I mean, the Cowboys almost got a lead, you know, in regular extra time. Yeah. I mean, like straight away when Townsend put that kick up and Felton, who you would normally, you know, bet your house on, that would, you know, safely, you know, take the ball and score. I mean, he had it. He had it. And he should have scored that try.
Yeah.
And the Sharks just had that one not particularly well set up Nico Hines attempted field goal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was the only shot they fired in the entire. I mean, they had knock-ons in their own half and they were giving the field position to the Cowboys. But then even so, they didn't concede that much field position to the Cowboys in Golden Point. And then Val comes in with a fucking laser from nearly halfway. Mm.
That was, like, everything about that. Like, it was clutch, but smooth, and like everything about that was fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, just the execution of it in the moment, the degree of difficulty as well.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Well, especially what happens when it goes, or if it goes wrong, you know.
Yeah.
That's a 7-tackle set. And
pretty much a guaranteed shot for them up the other end, But, while there were some defensive issues in the game leading to the large amount of points scored, I mean, it was still a fucking fun game. Like, it was a fun game.
100%.
And, like, socials, entertainment to the max.
Yeah, definitely. Andrew, the geniuses behind the Broncos recruitment are scratching their heads looking at the Dearden try. Adam, quick, schedule the surgery. My testicles have been holding me back this time. Stuart. Dummies left and right, steps and runs fast and hard, turning back the clock. # Hiku Haiku.
Honestly, I feel so. I've got a lot of love for that guy. I mean, obviously, he spent a number of years at Manly.
Yep.
And you would think by now that he was like past the twilight and almost a miracle that he's getting a start somewhere. But that fucking game, by far the greatest game of his career in a finals situation, playing in the centres and amassing over 300 metres and topping the metres for the entire game, you know, in a team that has, like, you know, Jason Taumalolo,
Valentine Holmes.
Yeah, I mean, just absolutely fucking incredible. And then, and some of the thing, like, I mean, you know, scored a try, came up with the clutch fucking old man gamesmanship to win a penalty from on Moylan in the ruck, you know, about 40 metres out from his own line. Like, just a fucking amazing game.
Well, it was fantastic. But this was, and you know, we had this chat in the members' DM. I think a lot of that is due to who he was in front of. And good. Talakai had a decent enough fucking game, but that's what he should be producing. You know, that's what the top tier backs of the competition produce week in, week out. And he's a State of Origin player now.
Yeah.
So that should be your minimum expectation for him. Yeah. But for fucking Peter Hiku, who has been playing for fucking 30 years.
Almost enough clubs to be called a journeyman.
Yeah, to actually fucking stand you up and kill you for pace over and over and over again when you're an up-and-coming centre.
Yep.
Yeah, man. That's it. Either a new position for you or a fucking go to whoever did Valentine Holmes's body transformation from when he came back from NFL and talk to them.
I mean, obviously Talakai is like a, obviously like he's like an edge back row, though, right? I mean,
exactly. Like exactly.
He feels like the guy that got put in there because they, you know, centers were injured that week and he had a good game, so he sort of stayed there.
Exactly.
So. But I don't know if that makes him a center, though.
No, certainly doesn't. West Rose. Ash said, what a kick from Holmes. Cowboys get it done in Golden Point versus the mortal enemy of humanity again. I love it. Carsten, watching from over in fucking wherever he lives.
The Eagle's Nest, I believe they call it. I can't remember what the German name for it is. It's beautiful. His home's beautiful, but the Kelstein House.
That's it. Utilities cost through the roof. The Cowboys are always in a game. Bags of dicks for the
gas
Shire.
Bill's enormous. The gas bill's Stop enormous. Stop it.
That's what I was alluding to by utilities costs. You've just gone out and Talakai'd it.
Well,
Al.
Look, you've got to put Morgan Harper up there. I'm going to have to do what I'm going to do.
There we go. Oh, God. On to the next game.
Okay. Fucking where were we? The last game. Of course, the bloodbath. The game. The bloodbath in Moore Park. The Rabbitohs 30 defeating the Roosters 14. The Rabbits a double to Alex Johnson, Latrell Mitchell, Jai Arrow, and Isaiah Tass with tries. And Tass, of course, with his try with the big dummy, where he could have gave AJ the hat trick, but he went the big dummy and scored it himself. And Latrell 5 conversions from as many attempts. The Roosters 14 tries to Crichton, Tupo, Butcher, Walker 1 conversion.
7 sin bins in a finals game between the two biggest rivals in the sport.
New record.
Not sure anyone was expecting that, but probably speaks to the level of the rivalry first and foremost, but the brutal nature of the contest both teams came to play. I think Penrith's probably the only team that doesn't give a fuck about playing South in the finals. Everyone else has to be worried. They're in amazing form. Mitchell's given them another edge altogether. And I think as far as Mitchell goes, even Penrith will be trying to crack the code with him, which is to be expected. But he's just in that rich vein of form at the moment that when he touches the ball, you can see the opposition players. There's an ounce of hesitation, which is exacerbating the things that he's doing, and giving him more opportunities and time and space, which is only going to, be another massive positive for the Bunnies. I just wonder that Roosters made a similar comment about Melbourne that, they're probably looking at the next evolution of their squad, and I think the Roosters are much the same with, Brandon Smith coming next season and another season under the belt of Walker and, what happens with, there's a lot of talk around Swalee now and where he fits in and Teddy and all the rest of it. So, again, you'd back Robbo to be the guy that nuts it out even over the course of one off season, but they've had a few moments this year where they have looked well and truly out of that top tier of sides as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, the problem with this game was for the Roosters is that we've been giving them credit over the last couple of weeks, particularly the way they played, the Storm and stuff, and the way they goaded guys like Nelson and Brandon Smith into losing their shit and kind of not buying into it. But this game, when you got the lead up, and because it's South and it's the oldie enemy, and I saw Cooper Cronk on the weekend talking about when he went to East and he was indoctrinated, like you got to fucking hate South, and you're watching all your old games and things like that to understand why you're supposed to hate South so much. It's just it's a big thing for them. And with the lead up and the fact that it was also coming on the back of the game last week as well, like so they had this, it was like a full 2 week sort of build up for this finals match, and they bought into it fucking big, and you had absolute prized dumbest cunts in the NRL currently, like Radley, buying into it and doing the dumbest fucking things they could have done at any time. It Waria Hargraves as well. Normally he can be the loose cannon, and you know, he sort of gets throttled back a little bit. Not in this game. He was just out there looking for, and the thing is, you'd get like head high tackles in one set on one side, and then the next set, you know, you got Thomas Burgess or someone coming through looking for head high tackle. Like, they're just going straight for the fucking head without a care. And you know, you could certainly say that Ashley Klein, you know, lost control of the game, but at the same time as well, I mean,
what's he supposed to do?
It's not state of. I mean, is he supposed to put the whistle away and just let them fucking bang? Like, I don't think that's the answer either. I mean, the players did. I mean, they did the fucking crimes. I mean, yeah, you got to do the time. But the statistic I love the most about this game is that of the 8 tries scored, 5 of them were scored by the team that had numerically less players on the field at the time. Yeah,
that's it.
And that was the real problem with the Roosters, because when they had the guy binned at the start, when Radley got sent to the bin for the punch, they dominated.
Yep.
And scored a couple of tries quickly. Conversions didn't help them. The lack of conversions didn't help them, obviously. But they were dominant in that period. And if they just had have sat back and concentrated on playing football, I think football versus football, they would have destroyed the Rabbits in this game. But as the game went on, it was too much, you know, niggle versus niggle, and, you know, sin bin versus sin bin. And then eventually Souths, they didn't go the way that you'd think they would. Like, you know, the way that we've seen, you know, Luttrell implode, and more particularly like Cody Walker implode.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't do that. They actually started playing the football.
Well, it's because they weren't involved.
Yeah, yeah.
The best forwards moves,
were sorting it out, yeah.
Exactly. The best move Souths made there was, well, okay, we're actually going to send our gigantic guys against their loose units, and that's all happening there. And everyone else is just sitting back going, oh, we better back it up, we better back it up, we better back it up. Walker wasn't involved. If you're going to get Souths in the niggle, you need to go at him and Luttrell.
Yep.
That's the play there. But the fact that the Roosters couldn't put this game away when Souths had 11 on the field, is the big one.
And Souths actually scoring a try in that period as well.
That's it. Well, you know, look, okay, Souths don't need 13 players to score a try.
No, but if you get stripped for numbers by an 11-man team,
exactly.
I mean, you know, you got to take a fucking look in the mirror.
Who are you facing up?
Right? I mean, that's an uncomfortable video session.
Oh god! Can you imagine that? If that was Nofa, it was the one time he like stayed on his wing.
Well, mate, to be fair, mate, you don't actually have to imagine too hard, because it has happened plenty of times where the Tigers have been stripped for numbers whilst having more players on the field than the opposition.
But the other thing is, Tedesco was the big loss, and for him to cop his HIA and not come back, all of a sudden the Roosters are in disarray. And I don't think they're a team that deals with change very well. Like, you look at, you know, the Cronullas of the world that are just like, oh, okay, cool. Where do you want me to play? Fine. That's where I'll be. I might not be as good, but fuck, we'll get by. Teams that have that sort of attitude are fine. But the Roosters, well, okay, Tedesco's now gone. Fuck. Essentially. Yep. And then they had, like, Tupu had the groin injury that he came into the game with, you know, having not gotten completely over, and that hits him. Now, all of a sudden, you know, they've got multiple players in their back line just out, and everyone else is scrambling around. It was a great game in and of itself. I'm not sure. I'll need to see Souths against a different opponent who may not fall into that fucking trap of, let's turn this into a punch-up.
Yeah, I don't see. Well, it's going to be the Sharks, and I don't see the Sharks necessarily being that team now. Sharks in 2022.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily see them as being the team that, you know, might bite on that stuff. I mean, because Gallen would 100% of the time, but
yeah,
you know, I don't think today.
He also wouldn't have been in the finals.
And the one casualty out of the game that matters is Burgess, with a girly guilty plea, eats a two-match suspension. Yeah. So obviously the idea is he'd be back for the grand final.
Yep.
Should, for the sake of the fans, I say doing air quotes, should that two-match suspension be deferred until the first two rounds of next season? I mean, no, you've got to do it for the fans.
But it was for something that happened in a rugby league game.
I know, but I'm just saying for the fans, for the sake of the fans, I'm putting on my fucking queen-loving racehorse man suit here. For the fans, I mean, should we defer that so that Thomas Burgess can play in the finals because that's what the fans want?
Are you suggesting that you should do something purely for Julie Burgess and whichever club owner is up to his nuts in her guts at the moment? Because they're the only fans that he would have.
Also the gravestones and pet membership holders.
Exactly.
Yeah, those two.
Exactly.
And that's something we didn't talk about as well with fucking Taylor and May. Came around and got the Karma police came and arrested him, and he's got a one match suspension anyway for a high tackle.
Yeah.
So which would have been two matches, but you know, if he hadn't have done the early guilty plea, so socials.
Yeah. Socials on that one. Had a great exchange with a South fan in Costco the other night.
Really? What? So you knew they were a South fan because they were wearing the jersey?
Wearing a rabbit's hat.
Okay.
One of those coward hats where the hat's black and the logo's black too. So people have to get real close to see who you actually support.
Yeah. Got to look at it in a certain light.
Yeah, that's it. So, you know, they're giving out the samples at Costco and it's like mango juice. And the kids are there waiting to get their mango juice, and old mate's doing that thing where he can see that there's kids waiting, but he wants to stand there and have a 10-minute chat with the poor fucking Costco employee that's pouring out cups of juice. Yeah. And they just weren't fucking into it. And he's, you know, doing the worst old fucking thing, like, oh, fucking need some vodka. And I'm like, oh, okay, yep, you're a South fan. No wonder you drink. And he goes, oh, who are you, Broncos? I've gone, nah, mate, we're not. But let's just say we really enjoyed the grand final last year. And he goes, oh yes, there's a sudden increase of Penrith Panthers fans all over Australia at the moment. Funny that. And I've gone, yeah, almost as many as your fucking pet memberships.
Did he get it though?
Oh, he fucking got it. So, yes, it was wonderful. Nathan, you said Klein and losing control of a game. Name a more iconic duo. Thomas, Walker building up confidence with his finals game cutout passes can only end well for us if history is anything to go by. Phil, it's an old-fashioned grub-a-thon. And the rest of it were, you know, some fucking variants of either, you know, holy shit, Teddy's gone, or... this is amazing. So that's us for round one, week one of the finals.
All right. So then we can fast forward straight to week number two. And this week, our first semi-final is on Friday night in the late slot. The Parramatta Eels take on the Canberra Raiders at CommBank Stadium in Parramatta. The Eels side, Moses has been named, but I don't know if he's necessarily going to make it. I know I think he's trained today with the side, but I'm not sure. So their lineup's unchanged at this stage. The Raiders side, Adam Elliott is out with a hip injury. I thought it was a pelvis injury. And I saw someone I think it was Terry in the Facebook group saying, yeah, you know, if you're carrying a hog like that, I mean, you might think it's a great thing, but you know, eventually you get a fracture of your pelvis with
eventually your body breaks down.
So Harry Weir-Naira starts and Sutton comes onto the bench. Who you got, Glennie?
I like the Raiders. I'm backing a straight sets exit for Para. I don't think Moses... If Moses plays, he won't be 100%. And if he doesn't play, they don't have a fucking chance. So, and if he does play, then he's going to see a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
And be asked a lot of questions defensively. And as I said, I don't think it'll be at 100%. And I think he's shown a tendency, whilst he made a genuine effort to step up last week against Penrith, over the course of his career, there's countless occasions where he's wilted under that type of pressure and been taken out of games. So I think Canberra, I think they're riding a bit of a wave, and Parra are rattled, and I think they'll be 0-2 and done for 2022.
And sometimes those waves are what you need in the finals, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Just a bit of momentum is powerful.
I think that it depends firmly on which Parramatta shows up. You know, we talked about it in the game recap. Their completion rate was absolutely fucking abysmal.
Mm.
They had absolutely no leadership out there. Moses kept them in the game, but all of these other people that they're supposed to have that are supposed to be leaders didn't do
it. Just say Clinton Gutherson. Just say his name.
Oh, he's not supposed to be a fucking leader. Guy's not a representative player.
I think he is. I think he's supposed to be.
I agree.
It's funny, like the king and the queen both died in the same day last week. But
I agree with your sentiment that, you know, Parra's performance will depend on which Parra shows up. But regardless of which Parra shows up, both of them will have Jacob Arthur inside. And I don't think that's a good thing.
Oh, no, 100%. If Moses doesn't play, no chance. If Moses doesn't play, they're gone. Absolutely.
They really need to not go with Jacob Arthur in the run-on side. If Moses doesn't play, they need to put another hard-nosed forward or something on the bench, and let Dylan Brown do his thing.
When he's
not deferring to Mitchell Moses, he has among his best games.
Yeah,
so
does.
Why not? You know,
exactly.
So fucking let him play. Let the boy play some footy. I'm going to say Raiders as well, just because I think it's a better story.
Yep.
I mean, the Eels can most certainly regroup and just play that switched on, you know, multiple offload. This thing, both of those sides are the two most offloading sides in the competition as well.
Mm.
So I think it's going to be a game. We're going to see some points. It's going to be entertaining. But,
But look at Parramatta's finals campaign last year. They came off the back of a pretty crook end of season.
Yeah.
Like they were so far below par, or where they'd been earlier in the season. They came into the finals and looked a different side. Looked an absolute fucking different side. They came out, they were back to their best. The team were cohesive. Everyone was working together. This year, they've entered the finals and it's all a fucking shambles.
Does Whiten put bombs into the advertising hoarding as well, or do you think he might give Parra's back three some trouble? Maybe even Fogarty.
The thing with Whiten is, for every fucking fantastic tower that he'd put up, he'd put another one out on the full.
Mm.
You know, if anyone's going to be doing that, and fucking Wonga Blake should be targeted, it'll have to be Fogarty.
Well, if he's not, fucking clearly they've had no video session of last week's game.
Yeah.
It needs to be put up on the projector. Texts have to be sent.
Yeah, and look, I loved, like, you know, as a neutral, all I give a fuck about is chaos and storylines. And for me, the dual storylines of the Raiders, you know, continuing to you know, barely scraping the finals and continue through to week three, and the Eels going out in straight sets, that's a fucking story I can get behind.
Fantastic.
The it's second to make your somersault off a toilet.
Yep. Now, the second one, the Sharks take on the Rabbits at Allianz Stadium, and the Sharky side unchanged from last week's lineup, and the Rabbits unchanged as well, but for the aforementioned suspended Thomas Burgess.
Betting's tight in this one. Rabbits, slight favourites, $1.85 to $1.95 for the Sharks. I'm gonna stick with the Bunnies.
I think I'm going Bunnies as well. I mean, the only variable really is how much did last week take out of them?
Yeah.
And is that something that is insurmountable, or do you think that, you know, with the professional sports medicine that we have in this day and age, they would have been into recovery straight away and, you know, going to come through and it's not going to be an issue?
Yeah.
Because one thing they don't have bumps and injuries and you know, possible injuries and that sort of thing. I mean, they're fine. Apart from the suspension,
yeah,
they came through fine. So it's not like they've got these guys, you know, trying to beat the clock and that sort of thing to be right for the game. Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
I think adrenaline is the big thing. Big thing for
momentum
them.
Again. Yep.
Yeah, and just to, you know, it's finals time. They understand what it takes to be up for big games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, again, I keep saying it, but the Mitchell factor is such a massive advantage for them.
And, but, and boy, hasn't, I mean, who would have thought that the Reynolds and the winning the trade narrative would have changed? Like, I mean, it was three quarters through the year. It was, Broncos, you know, South, the start of the season was, oh, South's done fucked up. And then it was still like, yeah, Reynolds is still the good. And wow, like, you know, in 2 months, it's gone from that to, you know, South.
That talk only dissipated in the last 3 weeks of the season about Reynolds. People stopped talking about Reynolds for the last 3 weeks of the season when it was
despite Tyson Gamble trying to pump up his tyres saying he's the real coach.
But, you know, you have to say Seas have taken their lumps, probably read the stories. Ilias is still there. He's gotten better.
The regular season, for all intents and purposes, doesn't matter anymore. That's gone, that's dusted. This is finals.
Yeah.
And the majority of that squad went through a finals campaign last year that landed them in the grand final.
Yeah.
Yep.
So for them, everyone talks about, well, you know, you've got to win one to lose one, lose one to win one and all this stuff. And Penrith lost theirs in 20 and then came back. And that was the fucking narrative going through in 21. Yep. Was it, they lost it last year. They know what it means. They'll remember that feeling. They'll utilise it. No one said shit about South Sydney this year. This is last year's grand finalists.
Mm.
So I think there's just too much strike power in South for Cronulla. So
yeah,
I hate to say it.
Tend to agree.
Sorry, Sharks boys.
Yeah, look, again, as a neutral, I'm here for the momentum of the Rabbits. And the only downside of it all is that they can't get through to the position to, you know, a grand final replay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, so they're going to run into Penrith, you know, the week after if they win. But yeah, look, I'm favouring the Rabbits and I'm all on board the fucking Trelmet Express.
How good are you at hip drops, Cronulla?
Well, I mean, you know, very fucking good, I'd imagine. Yeah.
I tell you, if... you know, mate, just look what South did to the Roosters. No fullback, no Roosters. Just saying. Viable game plan. We don't wish injuries on anyone.
No, we do not. And the thing with it, like, the bean counters and everything, when they would see a game between the Rabbits and East coming up, they'd be like fucking rubbing their hands together going, this is great, we can, you know, bank on, you know, a century plus of rivalry and hatred and the Book of Feuds and the blah, blah, and Russell Crowe say some shit, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll tell you what, as a fan, I'll be like, fuck, that's it, we're done. Because it doesn't matter who wins. Like, they end each other's seasons on each other.
They decimate each other,
yeah. Yeah, like, so, yeah, we'll see if the Rabbits can come back. We'll see if the ice baths are sufficient to heal them up. And you know, the Sharks, I guess, you know, for their part, they played an extra 13 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is apparently a factor. I mean, I've seen a lot of experts on Twitter. I mean, that's a factor. Sharks can be tired. They played another 13 minutes. I guess that's one thing. The Rabbits won't be tired because there were so many stoppages in that fucking game. It probably felt like training. Training with hard contact.
Tane Milne only played fucking 60 minutes. He's fresh as Daisy.
Yeah. Right.
There we go.
So that's it, folks. That's round two. That is us. Happy to say for people who got the supporter packs with the polos have arrived. So I will be packing up and sending those out over the next couple of days. So I'm sure you're going to get a shipping notification, you know, by later this week or early next week. Mm-hmm. And they'll be over to you as soon as possible. So thank you for your patience there. Who knew that the big casualty in terms of COVID production would be fucking embroidery? If I hadn't known that in advance, wouldn't have had an embroidered item this year in the merch. But we live and learn. Is there anything else that we have to...
Meetup news.
Meetup news.
Locations, and venues.
Yes.
And yada, yada, yada. So this year we will be running 3 meetup sessions over the grand final weekend. The meetup Sunday is to be held at Bar Cleveland, which is in Surry Hills, and that will be from 2 p.m. onwards.
Yes. So
Sunday, 2 p.m. onwards, Bar Cleveland, everyone is welcome. Absolutely anyone and everyone, whether you're an OG or you've only picked up recently or fucking still the greatest story I've ever heard, a father and son that were driving to the grand final from
Queensland, yeah,
to Sydney and said, let's listen to some footy podcasts. They found us and listened to us for 10 hours straight and then drove straight to the meetup. Fucking phenomenal.
Fucking tremendous, yeah.
So that's Sunday, and we look forward to seeing all faces, old and new, come down, have a beer for real. But the Saturday night, we will be running our members
meetup.
Now, this is for anyone that is a member of our Patreon or has bought a members supporter pack this year.
The old-fashioned way, yeah.
Those have basically rolled into the Patreon anyway. So that is exclusively for members. Members can bring, if they choose, a wife, spouse, significant other to come along. They're always welcome. We love to meet them, you know, dish the dirt on our listeners. Mm-hmm. But that is not a fucking opportunity to try and backdoor non-members into the fucking members meetup. Be fucking warned, as refusal can offend.
easily top 5 greatest things you've ever said.
And then we're having a special pre-Sunday meetup gathering with our top tier Patreons.
Yep, so and venue TBA, but we'll let you know through the appropriate channels on Patreon and whatnot.
That's it.
So we're in the WhatsApp group prior.
Spot on. Can't wait.
Awesome.
First meetup since COVID. Wait.
Yeah, it's been a little while. It's been a minute.
There's still a lot of people that can't travel for whatever reason or won't travel or, you know, funds. It's a fucking rough time. Mm-hmm. So spare funds for things like holidays are tough at the moment. But if you are in or around the Sydney area, we would love to see you. Come and buy Glennie a shot. Because apparently...
Glennie loves shots.
He's going to be Glennie 200.
Yeah.
No one said that.
To make up for fucking Nate Zero and Jay Zero, most probably.
No one said that. I'm just gonna be Glennie. I don't know why you guys. Someone needs to push a button or fucking turn a lever or fucking wind a fucking handle. I don't know what the fuck has to be done to you, tired cunts.
It has been decided that you are putting the lampshade on your head and fucking going to town, Glennie. All right.
This is Glennie. Glennie 300 in cinema soon.
I want to see you beat your 15 minute straight spew.
Oh fuck!
That's what I want to see. I mean, I've seen some Glennie fucking. You know, I would have thought I'd seen Glennie 300 before. I mean, because you've had some fucking ordinary performances.
You know what we're gonna do?
Hang on! Wait!
Okay.
There's stories that have been told. I don't know how they can be labelled as ordinary performances.
You fell asleep in the cab on the way to the 2014 grand final, or fell asleep, aka passed
entered
out.
Entered an alternate dimension.
And so I had to push a fucking meat pie down you or the hot dog down you, and you came to at halftime of that game.
I have a length of rubber hose that I am bringing with me, and the first time he passes out, we're going to duct tape one end to his mouth. Then we're going to duct tape the other one into his asshole and make the human Glennipede.
I tell you what I'm going to do if I see you with a fucking length of hose is I'm going to remove it forcefully from your hand. I'm going to beat you to death with it. So fucking bring your rubber hose. Bring it.
And everyone else, bring your disposable income to buy shots for Glennie 300. coming soon to Bar Cleveland, Cleveland Street, Cleveland Road, Surrey Hills, Sunday, October the whatever, 2nd, I think.
Cleveland will rock.
It will. And on that note, folks, thanks for listening. As always, thanks so much for your support. If you would like to support the show, go even harder. Consider becoming a patron, patreon.com/TwillNation. And there's another merch drop for Patreon subscribers later in the year for Christmas. The first one's just gone out, folks, the mid-year one. And so there's that and many more benefits, including extra meetups and, you know, smaller, more chilled out meetups as well. If you want to, you know, have some face time with us and, you know, get involved in more conversations that aren't obscured or enhanced by accessories and fucking alcohol. So, yeah, that's it. $4.94. Done.
In the bag.
And we'll talk to you guys. Hey, look, we will have to do a member side, I reckon, for one of these games. Which one do you think has the potential? Which is the one, the Saturday night one?
Oh, no.
Starts at 8, maybe. So it's going to be like 9 o'clock. It's going to be like 9 p.m. Yeah. We'll be doing it, you know, just before 8:45, something like that.
You guys decide when you're doing it, and I have this weekend's tough.
Right. What's better for you, Glennie, do you think?
Probably tomorrow. Tomorrow's probably going to be the more entertaining game, I reckon.
Cool. Fine. I'll go with whatever you want to do. So, okay, it's going to be Friday. We'll do an episode of the Raiders versus the Eels game. And, yeah, look forward to that on your podcast provider. That's it.
Nice.
See you, Glennie.
See ya.
It's good to have you back in the country, Glennie.
Yeah, it's good to be back until I had to fucking talk to you cunts.
You're very hostile, Glennie. I mean, you used to be all like, oh, man, like, you know, you guys...
I'm still that.
Know, I never knew how much I needed it.
But sometimes you motherfuckers need to be told that you're motherfuckers.
I remember that video you sent us where it was like, "I, it's Glennie. I miss you so much."
I'm dead.
I don't know why I'm talking like this.
I'm dead now.
And then Nate just looked at me and he goes, "Glennie doesn't talk like that."
I really miss my Glennie.
Oh, no, we'll send you this.
It's funny. It's fucking hilarious. The setup is a family pet has died. A dog has died. Right. So the father hires someone to make a video of like the dog talking to say to the kid, like, you know, look, I'm okay now. You know, I'm in better place than ever.
Everything's chill.
The producer of the video hires the only person they could get, which is like an Asian guy or something.
So they put an ad on Craigslist. That's right, Craigslist.
Yeah,
they're not a proper production company, and only one person responded to the job ad for the money they posted for it. And it was a guy with a very thick accent.
And so it's very funny.
Yes.
Yeah, slash tragic.
Well, the fact that it was a guy and the dog's name was Maddie.
Yeah. So yeah.
Oh fuck.
Yes.
That's it. Get up the line.
Okay. See ya.
Talk to you tomorrow night, Glennie and Jay, if you're coming along, dude.
Okay.
And right, see you, folks.
See ya.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.